first Sunday of Advent, 2016. We're glad that you're here. And I'm Peter Vile, co-pastor of the church, and we're happy to have Reverend Kevin Starcher, our other co-pastor, preaching today. And also happy to have Dr. Melody Meadows at the organ along with the choir. And Lynn Proudfoot is our liturgist. Thank you very much. And we're glad that you're here. There are several announcements in the bulletin that we hope that you're reading. And one that may or may not be in there is that we have Advent calendars that look like this. There's some in the back, and there's some on this podium right up front here. We'd like you to grab one on your way out. And they correspond to the chrismons that will be on our chrismon tree beginning next week as we put them on one at a time with the kids. Also, on this end of each pew, there's one of these red fellowship pads. We'd like you to grab that and mark your name and your relationship to the church. And if you're a visitor, give us a little information about you. We love to have that information that helps us welcome you and to know who you're worshiping with in the pew. Send them down the pew and back, and people can see who they're sitting with. I think there might be some announcements. They're lining up over here. Julia Castles has an announcement.
Just very quick. The photo directory, I wanted you to know that there still are a few spaces available for December 6th. That's a Tuesday. If you haven't gotten your photo done yet, the sign-up sheet is on the table out there. You can always contact me. Also on the table out there are the photos for some of the people who only received the free 8x10. They didn't order photos, but your free 8x10 is also on the table in the Whitechapel. So pick that up when you get a chance.
Thank you, Julia. Sue Chenoweth. And Estrid.
I have an announcement and a helper. This is Estrid, and she's got a basket filled with candy canes. The witness service committee has written on each candy cane an item for our Christmas baskets that the Davis Memorial will put together on December 18th for those in our community. This one says 4 cans of sweet potatoes. So Estrid has a limited number of candy canes in this basket. So if you would like to participate in filling our baskets for those hungry in our community, Estrid will be on hand here, and there is a basket in the back. Phil Becker has a basket with candy canes if you leave out the back door in front of the suggestion box. So the witness service would appreciate having our baskets filled full. Also, I want to call your attention, there is a notice in the bulletin about our Tree of Lights. The Tree of Lights supports the after-school program. We do it every year. Right now, it is lit in the front yard in our memory garden, and it will be lit until Epiphany in January. So on the table as you leave in the Whitechapel is forms that you can purchase a tree, a light to be lit on the tree for $5, and that can be in memory or honor of a friend or a loved one. So we encourage you to participate in this after-school fundraiser by purchasing a light on our Tree of Lights.
Thank you, Sue. The Starcher family has an announcement.
We have a great evening planned for children and youth tonight. We have youth group, kids club, and club 456. Starting at 6 o'clock, we'll have macaroni and cheese and hot dogs for dinner, and then we'll break up into our groups for our lessons and games and a great time for everybody. So hope everyone can come out tonight at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. And Brenda Hermanson?
J. Just a quick reminder again that we are displaying nativity sets in the White Chapel, so if you have one that you would like to have on display in Advent, we'd appreciate your bringing it into the church. Marcia can take it, or you can get in touch with me, and we will put your name on it, and we'll be good to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. I wanted to lift up our something on page 5 in your, it's the second faith community note. That's the HTLC Holy Trinity Lutheran Church Christmas Bazaar will be this coming Saturday, the 3rd. And I'm sure they would enjoy you all dropping by. Please notice the times. Also on the 4th, next Sunday, Children of Abraham, a conversation about Christianity and Islam. We look forward to that as well. It will actually be a dinner, and we look forward to being together for that. Are there other announcements at this time? Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Please join me in our responsive call to worship on page 2. Now is the time of watching and waiting. Now is the time of pregnant expectation of new life. The candle of Advent will soon be lit. Let us worship in the light of God's grace.
O God, we light the first candle of Advent.
We kindle it with hope. We long for you to come to our world, to break through and reign with compassion, justice, and peace.
We remember times when we long for God to be present in us, this congregation, and the world. This is part where I'm supposed to do a remembrance, so I'm going to try not to cry. But several years ago, when we were in Morgantown, I was sitting in church on a Sunday morning, and I got a call that my grandmother had passed away. And my parents, my mother, it was her mother, was they were in Seattle on the wrong side of the country, and my mom was not able to be there. It happened to be at the same place where Estrid went to daycare, and I would drop her off in the mornings after that happened. And every day I would sit and spend 5 minutes remembering my grandmother and hoping for peace in my family. that peace did come. And I hope that you too will be able to find peace and hope in this Christmas season.
Yeah. The prophet Isaiah also cried to God to tear open heaven and come down. He called God's people to do right. Isaiah called them to refashion like clay by God, the potter. This Advent, we call out to God.
Let us pray. Mighty God, creator of the world, break through all that keeps us from you. We ask for our mercy and reform use in your image. This Advent, visit us with your justice, love, and peace. Amen.
Let us stand and sing together our first hymn, number 82, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Which we take from the Lutheran Book of Worship together. Most merciful God, we confess
that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may
delight in your will and walk in your ways,
to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news of God. You are the beloved. And even in the midst of your sin, God loved you so much that he came to the world to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ, to teach us the ways of the kingdom. God loved you so much. And even when the world, when the powers of sin, maybe even of our own doing, nailed Christ to the cross, God loves you so much that God overcame the power of hell, overcame the power of death to be raised again out of abundant love for you. And right now, at this very minute, Christ loves you so much. The scripture tells us that he sits at the right hand of God the Father and prays for you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel, that when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we can know that our sins are forgiven and that we can live as the beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
Testament scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
Ms. Proudfoot, if I could interrupt us just for a second. This is one of my favorite times where we get to say hello to one another.
And mine too.
Excellent.
I'm just nervous. I'm wearing glasses and everything.
Lynn, well, I don't know why you're so nervous. You are so wonderful. Well, friends, we are the beloved people of God. And this is a time where we can remind one another that our neighbor, they too are the beloved. So today, instead of saying the peace of Christ be with you, if you would greet your neighbor and say, you are the beloved child of God. And we can respond by saying, and you're the beloved child of God too. Share that with your neighbor.
Thank you.
This is the time in our service where we invite our younger participants to come forward to listen to the Bible being read. And then we have a special message, and you're going to get something special today from Ms. Brenda. But before that, let us all give our listening ears to Ms. Lynn as she reads to us from the Bible.
Yes, we are back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the future house of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Our next reading is from the New Testament, book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. An urgent appeal. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far from gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in the reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I would like to introduce someone really special to you. And many of you may already know this wonderful lady. Does everyone know Miss Brenda up here? Can we say hi to Brenda? Hi, Brenda. And before we give the microphone to Brenda, let's introduce ourselves so that Brenda and everyone here knows who's with us today. Can you share your name in the microphone?
Lola. Levi. Everett, Baber, Gabra, Daniels. Astrid. Lily.
Samantha.
And we have some big kids up here.
Jackie.
Kaylee.
Callie.
All right, Ms. Brenda. Who here likes to wait for things? You like to wait for things? Why do you like to wait for things?
So I can get things.
Okay. That's one reason we like to wait for things. But do we always like to wait for things? Sometimes when your mommy or daddy are making dinner and you're really, really hungry, do you really want to wait? What do you say?
I'm going to get some food at the refrigerator.
That's right. We want to get some food out of the refrigerator right then, don't we? And sometimes we say, "I want to eat right now." And what does your mom say?
"You did not get it right now. I'm making it."
That's right. She's making it. So sometimes waiting is kind of hard, isn't it? It's hard to wait for things. Is there another holiday coming up? We just had a holiday. What holiday? Yeah. What Christmas? What holiday is coming up?
Christmas. Well, that was Thanksgiving.
That's right. Is it easy to wait for Christmas? Why?
Because it's 28 days away now.
The countdown has begun. It is 28 days away. And don't we wish that Christmas could be like
tomorrow or right now? Because why?
Because we really want to have Christmas.
That's right. We really want to have Christmas.
And because you get presents, and because you get things out of your stockings and candy. I like holiday food.
And holiday food. There you go. That's it. Well, sometimes when you have to wait for something, it's sometimes a good idea to do something else while you're waiting, because it helps make the time go by a little faster. So if when you're waiting for your dinner to be ready, or you're waiting for something else to happen, you could color, or you could play with your friends, or you could sometimes watch a show, and that helps the time go by faster. So today we have something that we want to give each of you, which is called an Advent calendar. And they are designed to help you wait and do something before Christmas comes. Each of these calendars has a little door on it that you will open each day. Today is the first day. So when you go home, you can open the door on the first day. And every day of those next 28 days until Christmas, you can open a new door and see what it says. So each of you will get an Advent calendar to help you as you're waiting. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for children who wait patiently and impatiently, both younger children and older children. We thank you for your son Jesus, who we are waiting for, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Your first grade, you can head upstairs with our nursery staff, and the rest of you can head back with your family and friends. Thanks so much for coming up. Don't forget your calendar.
Good morning. As chairman of the scholarship committee of the Presbyterian Women, it's my privilege today to honor our students that are receiving scholarships from the Women of the Church. This scholarship fund was established as the Minta Hopkins Ogilvie Scholarship Fund in honor of George Ogilvie's wife that passed away. And we have now named it the Davis Memorial Presbyterian Women's Scholarship Fund. So as I call your names, would these students please come forward and we'll hand out your scholarships. And if they're not here, maybe their mother will be here. Hunter Fath, Elise Cardo, Levi Fath, Emily Kaplinger, Katie Barchetto, and Matthew Maynard. Okay. We do have a few. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and I thought maybe some would be home for the holidays, but I think either they haven't come home or they've already gone back to school. So I'm going to start with Hunter Fath. And Hunter is graduating from D&E this midterm, and he's been majoring in business management. And he is the son of Tracy and Rick Fath, and the grandson of Sue and Holt Chenoweth. So we applaud Hunter as his graduation comes up in just a short time. And we have a scholarship for Elise Cardo. Elise is a junior at Davis and Elkins College, and she is the daughter of one of our former members, I think you remember, Rich Cardo. And Rich and Amy Cardo are in Petersburg. Elise's grandparents are Dick and Martha Cardo. So Elise has really been active up at Davis and Elkins College with the church service for the students on Sunday night, and we really appreciate what she's doing to help up there. But she's not here today. Our next scholarship is Levi Fath, and he is not here today, but his mother is. And Levi is a sophomore at WVU and majoring in geology. He is the son of Tracy and Rick Fath and the grandson of Sue and Holt Chenoweth. Congratulations to Levi. We have a $500 scholarship for Emily Kaplinger. Emily is a junior at Marshall and majoring in?
Political science and communication studies.
And I just read on Facebook that you got an internship with the legislature this coming up this semester. And it's called?
The Judith Herndon internship with the West Virginia State Legislature.
Going into politics. Emily, here's a $500 scholarship for you. And we have a $500 scholarship to Katie Varchetto. Katie was sick this morning, but she's a junior at Davis and Elkins College, majoring in theater arts and minoring in mathematics, she says, so she can get a job. She is the daughter of Monica and Pat Varchetto, and she is my granddaughter. And something special this year is for Matthew Maynard. Matthew is the son of Ken and Rafine Maynard and grandson of Faye Maynard. And he attended West Virginia Wesleyan College, majoring in biology, and graduated from Alderson Broaddus with a PA, Physician's Assistant Program, this August. And so, Matthew, here is a graduation gift for you from the Presbyterian Women and the Dr. Lacey class, and we appreciate all the graduates. And let me say that tomorrow is Emily's 21st birthday, so this is a special weekend for her, and we're glad that you could be here today and get your recognition. Thank you.
Judy, thanks. It is a blessing to see our students who have grown up in this church be recognized for their academic skills and how they go off to learn more about this world in which we live, that they may serve to be a blessing to others. Our sermon title today is Where Are You Going? And it would be fun to hear the responses of that question from our students. So if you want to answer that question, students, I'll be in the fellowship hall after church today. Where are you going? But I want to ask that question and a series of other questions to us. So I'm going to make us frozen, chosen Presbyterians a little uncomfortable today and invite you to partake in a church experiment with me where we get up and talk to one another. Imagine that. I'm going to ask you a series of three questions of increasing difficulty. The first one is easy, and I'm going to invite you to gather in groups of three or four. Now, many of you, and I love it, are sitting with family members. That's great. You're welcome to go meet with other folks. But if you're sitting with family and want to stay there, I'll have a follow-up question. But in groups of three or four, no cheating. You're in church. You need to be in a group. The first question is this. What did you do for Thanksgiving? Or if you're sitting with family and you already know that the answer to the question, what was your favorite part of Thanksgiving? I'll give you 1 to 2 minutes to chat about that in small groups. Ready, set, go. What did you do for Thanksgiving? All right, I'll give you 10 seconds to wrap up before we go to the next question. Okay. Are we ready for the next question? This one may be a little more difficult, but it shouldn't be terribly difficult. What will you be doing on Christmas Eve? What will you be doing on Christmas Eve? Hopefully coming to church is part of your answer. All right, I'll give you 10 seconds to finish and wrap up your conversation. Are we ready for the final question? We're ready. This one might be easy, it might be difficult. Final question. When you are 90 years old, what kind of person do you hope to be? When you are 90 years old, what kind of person do you hope to be? And I will give you 15 more seconds. 15 more seconds. Wasn't it fun to get up and move a little bit during our Presbyterian service? As we got up and moved, and as we make our way back to our seats, this is always the most difficult part. But it's a good part because it means that we're talking. And these folks over here may just keep going and going for the sake of the service. For those of you who can't see this crowd over here, if you saw them, you'd know what I mean. We love you, Greg Jones and Tom Regan. This part is a little participatory as well. What was the easiest question for you to answer? The last one. The last one was the easiest, and why is that? Because you want to be like Betty White? You already knew that. Excellent. I like it. For others, what was the easiest question for you to answer? The first one. In some ways, it's kind of apparent. Why was it the easiest? Because it already happened. We knew in the past what happened, and it was very easy for us to speak to hopefully some really good memories that you had on Thanksgiving. Was the Christmas Eve question difficult? It's coming up in 27 days, is that right? It was not difficult. Why wasn't it difficult, Dana? Because you're always at a church Christmas Eve. Well, we have one, Ms. Juanita. Oh, Juanita and Randy's 62nd anniversary will be on Christmas Eve. That needs a round of applause. What's the secret to 62 years, Juanita? What's the secret to getting to 62 years? You have none. And Randy's not here to answer. Now, what was the most difficult question and why was it difficult? In some ways, it's very apparent. What kind of person do you hope to be at 90 years old? Why is that difficult? I know it's not difficult for Emma. That's good. I'm grateful for that. Why is that difficult for the rest of us? Some of it is out of our control. Say more about that, Larry. Your health? Some of that's out of our control? Very good. Why else is that difficult for us to answer? You may not live until 90. That's part of it. Some of that's out of our control. Other responses?
It's a long time from now.
It's a long time from now. One of us, for those listening on the radio, that person will be unnamed and just said to Ms. Kaplinger, it's easier for you to say that it's a long time from now. What kind of person do you hope to be when you are 90 years old? For some of us, that may be 5 years away. Others of us, that may be 45 years away. For others, it may be a long time away. But it's in the future, and it's not something that we can plan out in a time frame of about 5 weeks. As we said earlier, it's easy to talk about the past and all of its glory and hope because it already happened. And us humans, we love to be sure and certain of how things are. So we talk about Thanksgiving, hopefully, with loving memories. Short term, coming up in the future, it's easy for us to plan and predict. 5 weeks out, we think we know what we're going to be doing on Christmas Eve. But when it comes to something that's even a year away, let alone 20, 30, 40, 50 years away, it's more difficult to plan to know what's going to happen because there are some things that are out of our control. We like to be certain. We like to be certain of what happened in the past. We want to know what's happening in our life now. And in some ways, we want to know what life is going to be like when we're 90 years old, but we don't. I asked a variant question like this at the Lutheran Church today. I said, what is our country going to be like in 50 years? Oh, I see some people rolling their eyes, shaking their heads. What's our country going to be like in 50 years? Sometimes the future is so uncertain, and we have big question marks in our life. And question marks in our life, doubt, worry, anxiety, can tend to bring us down. Did anyone pay attention when Lynn beautifully read Isaiah chapter 2? Beautiful words that the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, spoke to the people of Israel. Come, let us go to the house of the Lord, and on that day people shall go to the temple in Zion. And they will be happy and they will go forth to hear instruction from the temple. And it's a beautiful language talking about the importance of people going to the house of God to hear instruction for their life. And happy they will be, O house of Jacob, for they will hear instruction. It's worth noting that that very nice feel-good passage that comes to us on this first Sunday of Advent occurs at the beginning of chapter 2. Does anyone want to tell me what chapter 1 of Isaiah is all about? God is not happy with the people of Israel, and they are not happy, feel-good words that God is giving to his people. Indeed, the people were oppressing the poor and were not being very kind to one another, and God was not happy. Very immediately, in chapter 2, after these lovely, nice words from verses 1 through 5, very quickly, we go back to hearing about God's displeasure about how the people of Israel were treating one another and the poor amongst them. As we think about our own holiday season, hopefully we just came off of a wonderful holiday. Looking forward to more holidays, this nice feel-good feeling in our hearts as we think about the holiday season. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist amongst us to know that even as we think of the goodness in our life, celebrating scholarship recipients in our midst, that there is darkness around us today. As we think about our country 50 years from now, we roll our eyes and shake our heads because we know the displeasure and the discord that happens in the midst of us right now. I'm grateful for your entrance into politics because you can go and speak forth a message of light and love, just like the prophet Isaiah, who often had to speak the truth to the people as well. And as we think about our own futures and the people that we want to be and all the question marks that we have, sometimes we need to hear a prophet speak truth too. And with a little bit of trepidation, I stand before you trying to be the voice of the prophet. It's a good question to ask who we want to be when we're 90 years old. Because God has given you a good heart in your life. I believe that with all of our hearts. Every single one of you sitting here. And probably God is calling you to be a person of deep faith and wonderful integrity. Being a role model for the children in our churches and in our community. How do we become those people? Well, as human beings, we're really focused on the short-sightedness. We know what we're going to do for Christmas Eve, right? Well, how are you going to become that person that God is calling you to be at 90 years old? Where are you going with your life, and how are you going to get there? And as I work in the church, I think that we're really good about planning on the in the near term. Like, we know what we're going to do for Christmas, right? Our Christian Ed Committee knows what we're going to do roughly at least through January to get us through the calendar year. But when we ask deeper questions, how are we going to nurture these young ones so that they grow up to be wonderful and strong children of God that God has called them to be? And when I ask that question of us, a big kid sitting in church today, how is God calling us to be those strong, honest people of integrity and deep faith, passionate followers of God that we yearn to be, that we believe God is calling us to be? How are we going to get there? So often we're just focused on what happens next that we lose sight of the big picture. Instead of focusing on the person God is calling us to be, we often just get caught up in, how am I going to survive the day? How am I going to survive this week or this semester? In the midst of the darkness that Isaiah spoke, those hopeful words, those words that make us feel good, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. People will flock there. I wonder if in those roughly 3,000-year-old words we find our own hope. They will go forth for instruction, and they will hear a message of peace. And on that Temple Mount, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And in this dark world, not just of physical violence, but of emotional and mental violence that we perpetuate on ourselves and especially among the poor in our community, it is in the house of the Lord that those instruments of violence, those instruments of darkness, will be transformed into instruments that give food and nourishment to all of society. Friends, it's in the house of the Lord they shall go forth and hear instruction on who they are and who they have been called to be. It's in the house of the Lord. Friends, it's in the house of the Lord that we hear the words of abundant and eternal life. It's in the house of the Lord that we hear the words that consumerism and keeping up with the Joneses is not who we've been called to be, but instead to be people of honesty and integrity, people who make peace in this world. It is in the house of the Lord. How often do we go in our society finding people and things and places that try to give us meaning and hope that are outside of God? Look all around. We see it in our culture. We'd almost see it if we look close enough in our pews. Even the pastor is guilty of this. Friends, we don't find our meaning and purpose. We don't find our meaning and purpose in bank accounts or in nice vacations or what our neighbors think of us. It is only when we go to the house of the Lord and hear instruction week after week that nourishes our souls, that take us to the place where God has called us to be. So friends, as we go forth through this Advent season, 28 days until Christmas, until Jesus comes, 28 days. May these 28 days be a season where we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord as He comes again, calling us to be the people that we were called to be. And let us focus and meditate on how we are going to get there. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who has come and showed us the way to abundant and eternal life. Amen and amen. Let us stand together and sing our next hymn found printed in our bulletin.
Back of your bulletin are folks who we want to be praying for, those that we do so on a regular basis, as well as those of particular note this week, as well as our partners around the world, as well as our partners here in town, like the college and college students everywhere. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. As sisters and brothers in Christ, we pray for the sake of the world that God loves so much. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem that the psalmist reminds us of. We pray for peace in every nation that Isaiah reminds us of. That people will turn their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and study war no more.
We pray for the peace of the church. We pray for peace in Christ's body, which Paul reminds us about. Putting an end to fear and fighting and helping us to proclaim in word and action the good news of salvation to all. We pray for the peace of this community. Peace in this place. For safety in our homes and streets. For the prosperity of our neighbors. And for the health of family and friends. God of the future, make us ready for the coming of your reign, when you will bring everlasting peace and renew the face of the earth. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. It is time to continue our response to the good news of the gospel by receiving our morning offering. So come with gratitude and joy. Bring the works of your hands, the gifts of your lives, as an offering of praise to our God. We give you thanks and praise, O God, that you have built us up in faith and bound us together in love. By your grace, may all that we do show the glory of your name and serve the good of your people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 106, Prepare the Way, O Zion.
Thank you.
Where are you going in your life? How will you get to be that person that you hope to be? The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, reminds us that instruction shall go forth from the Mount of Zion, from the house of the Lord. Be mindful of where you receive your instruction for life, and may God empower you to be the person you were called to be. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore. Amen and amen.